If you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalms, the 101st Psalm, if you would. And after you find your place there in Psalms, go over to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, if you would. And between those two places, Waterbury, if you find something to preach on, all right? And we'll try to do that. But Psalm 101 and then Lamentations chapter 3, all right? Put a finger in both those spots there, and we'll be ready to go, all right? Turn there, if you would, and look. Psalm 101 is where we're going to start. Verse 3, just one verse. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Notice, I want you to notice the first half of that verse. The psalmist said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And then, if we'll, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, we're going to look at the first half of that verse where the Bible said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit on about be wise about your eyes, okay? Be wise about your eyes. If you were to ask the scientist or the physiologists and all of that, from their standpoint, your eyes are an absolutely amazing marvel of creation. I mean, it's amazing. There is no way any evolutionary scientist can explain to you how such a intricate and exacting instrument could show up through an accidental process and over millions of years. It just can't be. There's no way they can explain it. And like a lot of other things, they can't explain. But, hey, we know it came into being because we know God made it. And the Lord, when he made your eyes, man, he made some amazing instruments. They have a focal range that is amazing. You can focus on something right here, and I can focus on that clock back there. And that change is just like that. Just like that. I used to do a lot of photography. In my case, it was picture taking. But I had some nice cameras and had some telephoto lens and all that kind of stuff. But man, you had to fool with them to get the focal length right. And you had to work at it to get it sharp, get it. But your eye is able to make that adjustment almost instantaneously. You can look at that Bible in your lap and read it sharp, and then immediately look up here and you can see me. Your eye adjusts that focal length instantaneously. At the same time, that eye of yours can see a huge number of shades of color. Man can differentiate between an amazing number of colors, and its ability to handle a lot of different lighting situations and lighting conditions is unmatched today by anything man can make. I remember, as I said, used to take a lot of pictures, and I'd buy real high-speed film so I could take pictures in the dark or darker situations. And it would still, you'd still have trouble with that, and oftentimes you had to slow the camera speed down, and that meant you had to hold the camera real still or you would get a wonderful blurry image, you know? And your eye is able to, man, it can take a wide range of light. Even in very low light, you can see. You can see. And it's one of those situations, you ever been out? It doesn't happen in the city. There's so much light in the city that you're never in the real total darkness. But if you get out somewhere and you turn off the lights, man, it's dark. But it's amazing, you wait, your eyes will adjust. And you can see to maneuver, all right? Because it doesn't take that much light. The ability of that eye, all right? But I'm going to be honest with you. We're not concerned with the physical characteristics of the eye tonight. It's not what I'm talking to you about. I want to talk to you about the spiritual aspect of those two orbs that are in your head, okay? I want to talk to you about the spiritual aspect that goes with them. Now, David, the psalmist in Psalm 101, Verse 3 said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. David knew something about the power and the problem that I can deliver. He understood that. Unfortunately, if he had just, paid a lot more attention to what he said here, his life could have been vastly different, all right? If he had stayed true to that declaration, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Now, I told you we read there, and then over in Lamentations chapter 3, very simple, but very profound truth. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Hey, that's why we need to be wise about our eyes. What we see has a tremendous effect upon our lives. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, amen, or somewhere in between. What we see has a tremendous effect upon us. It affects our thoughts. It affects what we think about, all right? Because, we have a tendency to think about what we see for the most part. I've heard it said, you are what you eat. I might say, well, hey, to a great extent, we think about what we see. That's what consumes us. We think about what we see. And we see things, we think about those things, all right? They get in your mind, they're there. Our mind is an amazing thing. It captures stuff, holds on to it. I always tell people I have got a wonderful filing cabinet in my head. I just can't always get to the right drawer, all right, to find that bit of information I want to get a hold of. Well, those things that you see stick with you. They're there. They're imprinted. You can think back and you can remember instances from your childhood that could have been a long time ago, and there's some fixtures. I think one of the earliest memories I've got is walking out across a field and into some trees and pine straw everywhere, and that was the funeral service for my great-grandmother. That's all I remember about it, is just that little bit. But I can still remember that, all right? Still see that image in my mind, okay? It's there. What we see affects what we think about, but what we see also affects what we want. You ever heard the statement, well, we're just window shopping? I just want to encourage you, don't go window shopping unless you need some windows, okay? Amen. Just don't go window shopping unless you really need windows. You don't go sit in a new car, just say, well, I just want to see what new cars look like. No. Bad thing. Because what we get into, what we see, affects what we want. Hey, folks, that's why they advertise, all right? That's why there's advertisement on television. Hey, by the way, that's why advertisement on TV costs more than the advertisement on the radio. Because what you see affects you more than what you hear. That image of what's there, all right? And we're sold that. I remember commercials from when I was a kid. You remember the Nestle commercial where the guy fell back in the pool? I remember that commercial, all right? Still see that guy falling in the pool, all right? Hey, we remember, all right? It affects what we want. It makes us want things. It's easy to want something you don't need just because you see it. But it makes us want it, all right? It makes us want it. Somebody comes along and shows us something, some new gadget. And if you're a gadget person, you think, I need that. Not usually. We just want it, all right? We want that gadget. Last night, my wife and I were out of town. We were staying in a cabin over in the middle of nowhere, close to Lindale, Texas. And we were watching an old Western on there. And they kept coming on with these commercials, advertising all those things, just $19.99. And we'll give, if you order now, we'll give you a free one. So I told her, man, we make sure we get one of those. Amen. And the next thing, come on, make sure we get one of those, all right? And the next one, hey, let's get one of them, you know? All of that's there to make you want something, all right? Just to make you see it. And you think, well, hey, I need that. But we don't, okay? All right, so I'm saying to you, what goes on with those eyes really affects you. So let's take a look at it tonight. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 4, would you? Proverbs chapter 4, just some things that have to do. You need to be wise about your eyes, all right? Be wise about your eyes, what it is that you see. Just want to look at four types of eyes, if you will. Draw some application for us. Now, it's not the only ones there are, but it's the only ones we're going to have time for tonight. Proverbs 4, look down at verse 25, would you? Now, the Bible says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Straight before thee, right on. What kind of eyes are you talking about? Said, preacher, we're talking about disciplined eyes. Disciplined eyes. That's what does the writer here saying, let your eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. He said, you point them where they're supposed to go, and that's where you look. That's where you look, all right? Now, this is the goal. It's the goal that we discipline our eyes. We put the discipline on them, that we work. Now, discipline is work. You have to work to discipline your eyes. Now, you may not be able to totally determine everything that you actually see, but you can decide what you're going to continue to gaze at. You make that decision, all right? You make it. We decide where our eyes will focus. We decide where our eyes will focus. And if we're careful about it, all right, and we look, then we decide what it is we're going to look at, where they focus. The old Christmas movie, White Christmas. I'm pretty sure this is a movie it's in. And there's a scene in there where the two main characters see these two sisters that are singing. And one of them says, oh, man, look at those blue eyes. And the other one says, they're brown. They're brown. He said, no, they're blue. And he looked, he said, oh, they are brown. They were like, hey, they had each focused on a different set of eyes, okay? Different set of eyes. We decide where we focus these eyes. We decide. You can drive along, you can glimpse stuff, but you decide if that's what you're going to gaze at. And I'll remind you what David said to us in Psalm 101, when he said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. We've got to be careful. If what we see affects us so much and affects the way we think, it affects what we want, then we need to be very careful about what we focus our eyes on. They're not to be focused just on anything, all right? Just on anything that comes along. Folks, there's a lot of things in this whole world aren't fit to look at. And as we go more and more into this day The terribleness and the wickedness of the day, friends, there's billboards you don't even need to look at. They're there, all right? Don't need to be focusing on them. But you say, well, how do I handle it? They're your eyes. You decide what they look at. You decide where they go. I can't do that. You know, I've dealt with a lot of kids, and I say, hey, look here. But, you know, they're going to look. I've worked to help kids before, and I was working a problem for them, an example. I'd look up, and they're looking around. Yes, sir. Amen. So I just quit talking. I say, hey, look, why'd you ask me for help? Yes, sir. Come on. You're not even paying attention. Right. Well, so-and-so. No, you decide what you look at. Right. You decide what you look at. Well, there's something over here. You didn't have to look at it, did you? Amen. You didn't have to do it. You decide. Hey, we ought to be conscious about where those eyes are. They ought to be disciplined. You discipline them. Notice over in Philippians chapter 4, way over in the New Testament, we talk about, you know, you need to think about some things, all right? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 talks about things you ought to think about. We'll read this verse and you'll say, that's a familiar verse, and it is. And it's familiar for a reason. You've heard it before, all right? You look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's what the Bible says. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what does it say? Think on these things. Think on these things. Now, what kind of things? Well, those things that are pure. All right? Those things that are true, that are honest, that are just, that are lovely, good report. That's the Bible said. Think on those things. And then you say, well, I can't. Why? Well, because I saw this. That's why you need to be careful. Hey, have you ever thought about you ought to look at things that are true? You ought to look for things that are honest. You ought to look for things that are just. You ought to look for those things that are of good report. Why? Because mine eye affects what I think about. It gets in there. It affects what I think about. We think about those things we see. So we're talking about it here. You discipline those eyes. You discipline those eyes to look right on, all right? To be careful that they don't stray. And can I say this to you? The best discipline comes from within. Comes from within. You need to exercise your willpower. Amen. Your willpower. Now, I've seen they used to put what they call blinders on a horse. Right. Where the only way the horse could look was straight ahead. Right. When I was taking flight training and to get my pilot's license, they put you under the hood. And they would put this hood on you. And you could not, unless you did this, you couldn't see anything outside the airplane. The only thing you could see was the instruments on that airplane. And the idea was to teach you and train you to trust those instruments. You have to trust the instruments when you're flying. And it puts you in all kinds of strange situations. They'd tell you, look at your belt buckle, you know, and then the instructor, he'd put you in strange situations. He might point you into a sharp turn. He might pull all the power off and have you in a climb. Or, you know, in other words, and then he'd say, okay, you got it. And you had to look at the instruments, decide what to do. I just decided to crash. I got tired of it. No, I didn't. But, it was a discipline thing, all right? Look, the best discipline you got comes from within you. Within you. Now, my parents corrected me when I was a kid. And we use that word disciplined, and they did, but the truth of the matter is, you have to get to the point where it comes from within you, not somebody else having to watch you all the time. The preacher can't hang out with you all the time saying, don't look at that. You say, well, I wouldn't want you to. Good. I don't want to. You need to be disciplined. You need to have that. You need to have disciplined eyes. That's not all. Take your Bible, Proverbs chapter 23, would you? Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to look at another verse here. And something else about your eyes that's important. And they ought to be considered. Proverbs 23, if you will, look down verse 26. The Bible said that, my son, Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart. And then, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My ways. I look at this and I think about the dutiful eyes. Eyes that do their duty. You and I have a duty to our Lord to keep our eyes right because sight affects so much in our lives. Hey, David got into trouble and got into sin with Bathsheba, not because he glimpsed Bathsheba, but because he looked at Bathsheba. It's not the fact that he happened to see that man, there's a what in the world, and look, he could have looked away. He didn't do that. He made a choice. All right? He made a choice, all right? It affects so much of our lives. It's our duty to our Lord, then, that we keep our eyes in line. We ought to do our duty about it. It's easy to waste money for which we as good stewards, you know, we as stewards can waste much money because we see something and decide we have to have it. I'm a believer in God's people ought to tithe beyond a shadow of a doubt. Bible teach it. But wait a minute, God's not just concerned with that 10%. He's concerned with 100%, and he's given it to us. We're to be good stewards of it. Good stewards of it. A man, there's a multitude of people today that are in serious trouble because of these little pieces of plastic. These little pieces of plastic. They max them out. Not buying things they have to have and necessities, but buying things they want. Well, I saw that and I wanted it. It's kind of like Achan, remember, when they went into Jericho? He said, man, I saw that goodly Babylonian garment, and I thought it looked good on me, you know. And so he said, I saw it, I took it. And there happened to be some money there, and thought, why not? Taking the garment, might as well take. He took what he saw, all right? We have to realize that our duty is still to be done, and we need to be concerned with our eyes doing their duty, all right? We see people that get tied up in activities that draw them away from faithful service and doing our duty for God. We get tied up in all this other stuff. Hey, by the way, stuff that in and of itself is not wicked, it's not sinful. But we get tied up in all these other things to where we're saying, well, preacher, I can't do that because I got this over here. And preacher, I can't be faithful in the house of God because we got that over there, all right? We've got that over there. Look, you just don't do it. Just don't allow yourself. Make sure that your eyes get focused on what's right. And that duty, you still be able to do your duty for God. Dutiful eyes are those that are concerned about what God would have us to see. Hey, the dutiful eye comes and sits in the pew and sees the presentation of the missionary and doesn't think, my, what a beautiful country. No, the dutiful eye sits there and watches that presentation and sees people that need the gospel. Sees people that need to hear the story of how Jesus Christ died for their sin. Dutiful eyes see that, all right? That's what dutiful eyes. Questions like, is it right? Will it edify? Could it be a stumbling block to somebody else? Will it help to bring glory to my God? And how will it affect my testimony? Those are things that are going to be concerned with if we're going to keep our eyes dutiful towards our God. You with me? Dutiful eyes, all right? But unfortunately, there's a major problem, and that's with distracted eyes. Our eye, we get distracted. The majority of car wrecks, probably right behind drinking, thing that causes more car wrecks is people get distracted. They get distracted driving. They get distracted by their stupid cell phone, or they get distracted by something over here or over there. Something falls in the seat and they reach down to get it. My son-in-law told me about his brother. He said, yeah, he knows what life's real life's about now because he got distracted driving and he hit a mailbox. He said, not just any mailbox, it's a mailbox in South Lake. He said, it's a brick mailbox. He said it probably cost as much to fix the mailbox as did his car, all right? But he found out that you got to pay attention. And I think he got distracted by Chick-fil-A. He had bought something from Chick-fil-A, and something happened. He looked at it. When he looked up, they had moved this mailbox right in the middle of the road. It's amazing how that happens, all right? Amazing how that happens. Hey, we get distracted. We get distracted. Now, what is it that distracts our eyes? Proverbs 23. You still there? We were right there just a moment ago. Proverbs 23. Look down in verse 5, would you? Notice what the Bible says. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Man, I'll tell you, wealth distracts the eyes of so many people. Money becomes far too important. Or, however you want to put it, said preacher, it ain't money, it's the stuff you can buy with it. Same difference, all right? Our eyes get focused on that, and we forget what we're supposed to be doing serving God. And we think, I've got to have that money, I've got to have more money, got to have more money, and so we get distracted. We get distracted by that thing. But it's not just that, all right? Look in Proverbs chapter 6. There's really a multitude of things that distract us. I'm just going to look at two of them scripturally. Proverbs 6, look if you will, in verse 24. The Bible said, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Would you notice that word lust in verse 25? Lust for an individual comes because of what we see. Because of what we see. We get the emphasis on the flesh, and boy, we get messed up. That's what happened to David. It was the lust of the eye that got him. All right? That got him, that sucked him away from God, and he allowed it to take place, all right? Our eyes get focused. People can be a great distraction when the eyes are not disciplined. I don't want you to think, ladies, that it's just men have this problem. Oh, it's women too, all right? Women have this problem, men have this problem. Why? We get to looking at somebody we ought not to be looking at. I've said this before, you ought to never, never compare your spouse to any other person. Ever. Don't do it. Yeah, just don't let it happen to you, all right? You let that happen, you're going to get in trouble big time. Just don't allow it to take place. You figure you're the luckiest man alive because she was willing to marry you. Or you figure you're the luckiest woman alive to have the man you've got. If you'd view it that way all the time, sure would help you stay out of trouble. Instead of looking at somebody else and comparing that somebody else to your wife, man. Don't do it. Don't do it. Every man in here is married ought to feel this way. Nobody compares to my wife. Nobody. I mean, just plain and simple. Ladies ought to be the same way. Nobody compares to your husband. Nobody. It'd save you so much trouble, all right? But our eyes get distracted because we get looking at somebody else. The world of Hollywood spends their life looking at somebody else. By and large, the exception in Hollywood is a couple that's married for a long time. By far the exception. Most of them, they have rotating spouses. And they only put up with them for a little while, all right? Hey, why? We get distracted. Get distracted. You be careful, my friend, with those eyes. You don't allow the world to draw your attention away from the will of God, where God wants you to be. Don't let that take place. Then another one I want you to look at, and we'll be done tonight. Look in Proverbs 30. When we start this, you're going to get an opinion in your mind, and it's normal, okay? Verse 13, Proverbs 30, the Bible said, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Hey, there's not only a problem with distracted eyes, there's a problem with disrespectful eyes. Disrespectful. Your eyes say a lot. Your eyes say a lot. All kind, you know, I've told you before, my dad could handle my brother and I with just a look. All it took was a look, we were in line. We saw that look, we straightened up. He didn't have to say a word. Just that look. Just that look. There's a look that can pass between two people that are in love that's immediately you recognize it. You recognize. Why? We communicate with our eyes. We communicate with those eyes. But I want to tell you, the scripture here speaks of a generation that reveals their disrespect with their eyes. Their disrespect. We've all seen the lifting of the eyelids and the roll of the eye that comes with it. We've seen that take place, all right? Children, do it to parents. Yeah, if you're the right kind of parent, all right? Students, do it to teachers. They do. Many youth do it to all authority. Disrespectful of any authority. But I want to say this to you. I'm concerned about believers that reveal their disrespect for the Word of God when it's taught or when it's preached in its simplicity, and we see that roll of the eyes of not, oh, he ain't going to preach on that again, is he? Disrespect. Disrespect for the Word of God. Or, man, that teacher or that preacher needs to get with the times. Man, he's just old fogey. You got that roll of the eyes that go with it. Can I say this to you? Be careful. Be careful. You communicate with those eyes. You communicate. Now, you might not ever say that to God, but we'll think it. And with our body and our eyes, we reveal the fact that, oh, no, not. We reveal the fact, hey, I don't like that. I don't appreciate it. Hey, you be careful when you find yourself opposing what God's Word says by the looks and the eye movement you make. Be careful. You said, preacher, that's what kids do. No, that's what adults do, too. They've perfected it as kids. And they still do it. Let us ask you tonight, in closing, ask you a question. What kind of eyes do you have? Are they disciplined? Are they disciplined? Do you run those eyes? Are you the one that's in charge of them? Or they just kind of go wherever, whenever? You don't control them. Are they dutiful eyes? Man, do you think about your duty to God by what you're looking at? Or maybe they're distracted. Well, it's easy. Hey, look, it's easy for good Christians to get distracted. Amen. Don't let it happen to you. Don't let it happen to you. We get distracted because of what we see, what we focus on. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen to you. In my soul, I hope you don't have disrespectful eyes. There's no reason in the world for that kind of thing. Shouldn't be found in God's people. Hey, be wise about your eyes. God gave them to you. They're yours. How do you use them? How do you use them? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, meet our needs. Keep us safe. Keep us in your care. And Lord, would you help us to keep our eyes where they ought to be? That we'd be disciplined in their use. We would decide, Lord, what they look at and how long they look. And Lord, we'd have the good sense to discipline ourselves to look at those things that are